This is a replay of the Wednesday night, September 17th WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call, and you know that. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoIP. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoIP. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We have 3 hours to spend together. If it's on your mind, it'll be on mine. Basically, we'll have a good time. Hopefully, we'll hear from Sam, find out what happened in court today with Shonda's attacker. That was quite the story. And see what's going on with you as well. Now, this almost sounds like it's a serious topic, so we're not going to stay on it long. But as you know, if you listen to the show regularly, I'm always aghast at what's happening to prices and how the hell people can pay. When I go to a fast food place and, you know, two people are getting a couple of hamburgers, fries, and Cokes, and it's over $40, I say, something has gone very wrong. And, you know, that's kind of my mantra, and I say that all the time. And I punctuate it with, I don't know how people do it. And maybe they just all go into debt. Well, I don't have figures on how much more debt people are taking on, but what I did see, and it was one of those aha moments for me, is that for the second year in a row, credit scores are dropping. Now, among some age groups, there's reasons, such as the group that has student loans. That started appearing on the credit again in February, so that's a factor. But even taking that out of the equation, this is not a good situation. There is an unbelievable disconnect between the euphoria on Wall Street, investors and stuff like that, and the pessimism on Main Street. So stocks are at a record high, yet a significant chunk of Americans not only say they're hurting, but their credit scores are reflecting it. And this is the first time since the quote-unquote Great Recession that we've seen this 2 years in a row. After 2008, obviously 2009, very tough and didn't really start turning around until 2013. But now, last year and this year, credit scores not looking good. And when interviewed, it's very interesting, especially getting back to young people, even people who are not saddled with student debt, finding jobs. And you say, how is that even possible? But apparently, it's not only possible that a lot of fairly young people are fighting paying back anything because the entry salaries are a fraction of what they expected it to be. And so this is a difficult job market for new college grads, and doesn't make sense to me, but there you have it. Now, part of it, of course, is what did you major in? I understand that. But they interviewed recent grads, and this one kid, 22 years old, applied literally to hundreds of jobs after graduating from American University in Washington, D.C., 2024, degree in, here's the problem, international relations. You know, you don't see that much in the want ad. So it took them 14 months to land any job, at least one that wasn't a scam. And you kind of have to go through that as well. So the job he got as a secretary at a law firm in Orlando, drastic cut to his income prior to his previous work as a server. Yeah, and he said, yeah, my score took a drastic hit. You got a lot of those, but 1 in 5 people of all ages, in terms of those surveys, that 19% of Americans paid less or skipped bills to get by in the last year. And that's a few percentage points higher than 2024. 47% said discretionary spending is cut drastically. 23% said discretionary, we're cutting essential spending. And so apparently what you've got is, according to the people who crunch these numbers, 64% of Gen Zers, 61% of millennials, so we're talking a lot more than half, with student loans, are relying on credit cards, buy now, pay later loans, or personal loans to bridge the financial gap. Now, this has got, you know, at some point, it's got to come home. And you've got a number of people of all ages, including parents who took loans to help support children and all that. But anyway, I look at this and, you know, when I go to the post office and it's for a roll of stamps, it's $78. And I'm going, what? Apparently it's not working out well. So we'll see. All right, so let's talk about something happy. Why don't we? Toys. Toys are always fun, don't you think? And thanks to Bob, Engineer Bob, who sends me all these wonderful links of stories that are a lot of fun. And the latest is this year's Toy Hall of Fame has released its nominees. And a dozen candidates. One of them is interesting, though, Snow. Not as in a board game or anything like that, as in the cold white stuff that falls out of the sky, because, of course, it keeps people at home. And that's right. you got usually popular board games and the like. But as far as things that aren't natural occurrences, tabletop favorites, Battleship, Catan, Connect Four, Spirograph, and Trivial Pursuit. Now, I would have thought Trivial Pursuit was in there before, but maybe it is an offshoot or, you know, some specific category of Trivial Pursuit. But Scooters and Slime and Cornhole, Star Wars Lightsaber, Furby, Tickle Me Elmo round out the finalists. And so apparently there are thousands of nominees, but when I look at this, I'm like, Tickle Me Elmo didn't get in before this? Apparently not. So you have a week. Well, less than a week almost, till September 24th to vote for your favorite. And the top three will make up a player's choice ballot to be counted alongside 22 other ballots from a panel of historians and educators and experts and things like that. And then they'll announce it in November. This all happens at the Strong National Museum of Play. And that's a fine tourist attraction in Rochester, New York, where the Hall of Fame is located. Anyone can nominate a toy, but to make it into the Hall of Fame, there's a number of criteria. They've got to be considered icons, engaged multiple generations, fostered creativity. Yeah, as far as I'm concerned, when you put them together, sometimes it's fostered new and inventive ways to curse, but they didn't have that in mind. Or profoundly changed play or toy design. So, what was honored last year? My Little Pony, some Transformers action figures, and the Phase 10 card game. All right, so now inducted into the Toy Hall of Fame are 87 items established in 1998. So we'll see what gets in this year. All right, so 888-876-5593. Got several of your requests and hoping for more of your calls coming up on WGN Radio.
Just to know they remind me. I love you, Father. Mm-hmm. I love with you.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Patrice Rush, and that was Eduardo's request. And remind me, 1982 on Elektra, the album was Straight from the Heart. And speaking of Eduardo, he called last night. We didn't get time till the end of the show. I said, call back, and he did. Glad to hear from you. Hey, Eduardo, what's up?
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. Yeah. I actually started listening to your show, and then we went to Wonderland, and then we woke up.
Yeah.
And then we started listening again.
Okay.
So, and it happened again today, but actually it happened much earlier.
Okay.
Yeah, but, I was going to talk about California, and I wanted to sign up as early as possible because, you know, people are signing up for these holiday trips, but I wanted to sign up for Positon, which is hosted by KFI at the White House over there near Anaheim.
Okay.
So I was taking care of that. And
so when is
found,
it? When are you going?
December 2nd.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm just going to go there for a few days.
Okay.
And I'll be going into NSA. I think that's John Wayne.
Right.
Airport over there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a joy. You'll love taking off from there. They have noise abatement regulations, so it'll be interesting.
Okay.
Yeah, so Pastathon, yes, and that's the deal every year. Anaheim White House Restaurant on Anaheim Boulevard. All right.
Yeah, so everybody from the station will be broadcasting there from Bill Handel all the way to the end, which is Mo Kelly.
Yep, it'll
be. So they're all going to be there.
15th annual.
Yeah, and I always wanted to go since everybody, you'll be able to meet everybody because they're all going to be broadcasting there at one day. So
I would think that you will be the
cool.
The guest who has traveled the farthest to meet them.
I know. I'm just going to say I'm from Chicago.
Oh, no. Why? Tampa's even further.
I'm just kidding. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, good. Well, have a good time. That's fun. Now, when you were calling last night, it was interesting because I saw the little headline. Yes, the moon is moving away from the Earth. Not a lot. You know, a few centimeters a year, and whether it'll break free from the gravitational influence before the sun turns into the red giant and fries the inner planets, we won't be here to know.
Yeah, and it said on the Daily Mail science section, it says, okay, now it's going to be 25 hours, is what it's saying.
Yeah, well,
how about that?
Yeah, who
so,
knows?
Is there like a four-hour Raleigh show in the making?
Yes.
Probably not.
Yeah, so I don't know. So apparently the sun is going to enter the red giant phase in about, 7 billion years. So this is all theoretical, to say the least.
Uh-huh. Oh, I got to let you know, speaking of California, because I was watching one of Samantha Brown. She's one of the travelers on that they put on there for travel.
Okay.
And she rented a car, and she went into, I think it's pronounced Barrango Springs.
Okay.
And she was saying, yeah, the Brad Pack used to hang out over there. And
yeah.
It looks pretty isolated because,
oh, it's
looking
isolated, all right. Yeah, no, this is truly the middle of a downtown nowhere. And the Salton Sea, which, by the way, is generally dry, is not far from Borrego Springs. But really you can't get here from there, and I don't know why anybody would want to go. Being in Angeleno, of course, I went to all these places, because what else do you do but drive around? But, I mean, I can't imagine anybody making it a point.
Yeah, she went through Julian.
Sure, well, Julian's outside of San Diego, not too far from where I lived.
Yeah, she went into this pie store. It looked pretty good.
Yeah, no, Julia, absolutely. Yeah, that's.
Yeah. And then she went to Big Bear.
Big Bear is lovely, then of course Lake Arrowhead, which is private, but it's all right. So yes, Big Bear is interesting. You know, the nice thing about Big Bear is that, you know, if you're in California and you miss snow, you can go to Big Bear and it will snow in winter.
Yeah, looks interesting. Like to go horseback riding. She was with her tour guide in a buggy.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
How about that? So.
I guess so. But, Julian, if you go to Ramona, usually you wind up, I'll go a little further. I'll go to Julian. And then at that point,
Is it pronounced Temecula?
Temecula. The thing about Temecula, that is on the San Diego County line, but it's technically Riverside County. And that's become quite the development. You know, as prices get higher on houses, people tend to have to move farther and farther away. So you have a lot of areas like Temecula that sort of really boom when housing prices are ridiculously high, and then when interest rates drop and all that, they kind of contract. But yeah, Temecula's there, and it's just off I-15.
Yeah, they had some nice stores there, and she went into a winery. I guess there's a winery over there, so.
Yeah.
Looked pretty nice.
Oh, yeah. And then, she probably came back, I-15, went to Lake Elsinore and places like that. You know, I mean, the usual trip.
Okay.
Yep. It's all there.
Wow, yeah. Yeah. Well, I've been to San Diego, but I never been to those.
Well, right, because why would you, bottom line? usually when you go to San Diego, maybe you'll go over to Coronado Island, or something like that. But you usually don't say, I'll just get on I-15 now and go nowhere,
Yeah. It looks like a nice, I would not want to go driving at night, but it looks very nice during the day.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Well, you probably won't have a chance to do that when you make your Anaheim trip.
No, but maybe some of the time, yeah.
So how many days will you be there?
I'll be there like 3 days maybe.
Okay.
I don't know. It would have been great to be there longer, but I don't know. I'm up in the air if I want to go somewhere else too. The thing is that my younger brother's going to be flying in from Chicago, so he'll be taking care of you-know-who, so...
Yes.
He'll be here a few months, so I'm getting in my...
You're traveling now while you can. Absolutely. Way to do it.
Yeah.
Book it all. All right.
I'll call back tomorrow.
Okay, I'll look forward to it. Thanks.
Thursday,
appreciate it, Eduardo. Talk to you then.
Okay.
All right.
Have a good show.
So
okay.
There you have it, 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio.
He takes me to the places you and I used to go. He tells me over and over that he loves me so. He gives me love that I never is true. Why can't he be you? He never fails to call and tell me I'm on his mind, and I'm lucky to have such a guy. I hear it all the time, and he does all the things that you would never do. He loves me too, his love is true. Why can't he?
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. And that, of course, is Patsy Cline. I think I played that in the last 6 months, but I know James had requested it again, so sure, why not? 1962 on Decca. Of course, Hank Cochran wrote it. Yeah. A lot of versions of that. Loretta Lynn and others, and just a fine song. All right, so 888-876-5593. Cindy is in Chicago. So, Cindy, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Yeah, I have a request. That song by the Oh, no, I forgot their name again. The Mamas and Papas.
Mm.
Each night before I go to bed, I say a little prayer for you.
You're dedicated to the one I love?
Yeah.
That originally, actually, most people think it was originally done by the Shirelles. They'd be wrong. It actually goes back to the Five Royales. I can play the original version of it.
All right.
I'll play that or the Shirelles, but you're not going to get me to play the Mamas and Papas. That will not be happening.
All right. And then as far as there's a cash crunch going on right now. I heard about this 3 months ago from reading the business news. The business people are cutting people's credit limits so they don't run it up and then they file bankruptcy and then the bank...
That's fairly common. You certainly have been involved in finance in your life. Obviously, all of these companies are going to employ actuaries because they're trying to predict people's behaviors. That's what the FICO scores are all about. Well, so when they get that jittery feeling that, oh my God, people are in over their heads, you know, they don't want to have to do the write-off, so they'll slash credit limits. Of course. Happens all the time.
Yeah. Well, what happened to me personally is I had a Citi card that had a $10,000 limit.
Uh-huh.
And I never used it, and they put, you know, they put it down to $500.
Well, if you never used it, it's a wonder they didn't cancel the card entirely. But here's what they look for on those scores. A lot of people think FICO scores are about how well you pay your bills, and the reality is that's not the half of it, literally not the half of it. One of the things that they are examining is how much credit do you have available and how much of it are you using? So let's say you've got five cards and you've got a total of $100,000 worth of credit and you're already using $70,000, yeah, those lenders are going to get very frightened. So, you know, the FICO scores, as you probably know, because I know you were, you know, in the financial industry, were actually developed by insurance actuaries. Fair Isaacs is an insurance score because, of course, insurers want to figure out how not to have people with policies that are going to need payouts. So that's what it's supposed to do. It's supposed to predict behavior. But people who think that it's just about how well do they pay their bills don't understand why it exists.
Yeah. But then, I mean, I've been, you know, the only stock I trade in, I told you before, is Commonwealth Edison, ticker symbol EXE. And I've pretty much been jumping out, you know, have been jumping out the window for about two weeks. Because I don't know what, normally, you know, I know what the stock is going to do. Mm. And I have to make money if it's hard times or good times. You know, I just...
Right.
No, I just have to do it. I mean, I just have to know how to do it. And I found this website. I Googled it, and it gives me guidance. It's pretty much guidance for what the stock's going to do for the day.
All right.
But, you know, they're usually pretty, you know, so tomorrow I think I'm going to trade. And then I got my car back. Mm-hmm. I went to Lutheran, and about 4 weeks ago, I went to Lutheran for a doctor's appointment. Never park on the end where there's a curb, because I thought I cleared the curb, and I hit it so hard, and I did something.
Lovely.
But then, I only have a $100 deductible.
Oh, then your premium must be nice and high. Yes. All right. Well, very good. You sound no worse for the wear, and we'll try to get the original. You'd like the Shirelles version, I know. You may not like Loman Pauling and the Five Royales dedicated to the one I love, but at least you'll hear where it started.
But tomorrow I'm going to go to China Buffet. I have, like, all the fish and the fruit. You know, they have, like, every, you know, it's like about $15. It hasn't gone up in price, and... I think maybe like 5 years ago it was $13.50. Now it's like $15.
All right. Well, enjoy every mouthful.
I'm going to China Buffet to do my day trading tomorrow.
Well, good luck on that.
Yeah,
we'll talk to you later.
Carbon.
All right. Talk to you. Goodbye. So 888 888- 876-5593-8888. Raleigh. Now we all know all about Cindy's day tomorrow. All right. And yeah, she's a day trader and making a living off of it. So, you know, don't knock it. Wouldn't be for me. I look at it as legalized gambling, but a lot of people love it. All right. So we'll get to Chris. And Chris is in Greenwood, South Carolina, of course. But before we do, want to talk about the Sea Crane Company and that wonderful CC Radio 3. It is a delight. The almost everything radio, they say, because they added Bluetooth to it. Now, firstly, like all the radios that Bob Crane developed, it has terrific AM and terrific FM reception. And that's what was lacking in radios for so long. And, you know, even is on a lot of radios. I recently had a friend who was going to buy a new car. He got in the car at the dealership. He turned on the AM radio, and it was so lackluster, he said, "I'm not buying this." And the car salesman was just incredulous, but I didn't blame him a bit. That's right, I look at it that way, too. Let me buy a nice radio with a car attached to it. But in this case, the CC Radio 3 will leave everything in the dust reception-wise. It's really terrific. It's all digital, of course. So you've got a digital readout, and you've got a clock, an alarm, a timer, and you've got some presets and all those wonderful things. You also have emergency capabilities in two ways. You've got NOAA weather and the 2-meter handband. And, of course, with NOAA weather, that will alert you when things are going terribly wrong. And, you know, we've talked a lot about the weather disaster this summer, and for a lot of people, they would have done a lot better had they known in advance what was going on. And NOAA will warn you, but you've got to have a weather band on your radio or a weather radio in order to pick it up. The 2-meter ham band is a delight. Normally, you can just hear hams jawing with one another, and that's a lot of fun. But in real emergency situations, sometimes that's the only place you're hearing this information. So, and if you're listening primarily just for voice content, that's where that Bluetooth comes in too. The speaker and the audio is just terrific. Audio for the spoken word sounds just like the host is sitting right next to you. And you've got separate bass and treble controls. You can adjust it to your perfect pitch to immerse yourself in audio clarity and use the speaker. Like I say, maybe you're listening to podcasts on your phone or whatever, and you know, who wants to listen to anything on their phone? Use the Bluetooth feature and listen to it on the radio big time. It runs on included power cord or a set of batteries. And by the way, that set of batteries, you'll get about 170 hours out of them. So that's really nice. You can go to ccradio.com anytime, ccradio.com, and read all about it. But if you can't go online, you can call them. Or even if you can go online and have some questions, great customer service, 24 hours a day in the good old USA. That's 800-522-8863, 800-522-TUNE. But if you can go online and you're looking for the Almost Everything Radio, you look at that CC Radio 3. You tell them Raleigh sent you from WGN Radio.
This is dedicated to the one I love. Just knowing you love me.
But the one thing I want you to do, especially for me,
and it's something that everybody needs. Each night before you go to bed, my baby, whisper a little prayer for me, my baby.
WGN. Friend Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Well, that's how it started out. That was 1957 on an album dedicated to you on King, the Five Royales. Of course, Loman Pauling, the lead singer and writer of that song. They later, King released it on a single, but then a couple years later, of course, the Shirelles, it was picked up for them, and that was the big hit dedicated to the one I love, which is the one the Mamas and Papas covered. So, yeah, there you have the history of that anyway. So, 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, we've got Chris in Greenwood. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh, how's it going?
All right, so what are we talking about?
I like talking about, you know, like old daytime stuff, like when they had the production companies that's no longer in existence.
Well, like what?
Like, you ever heard of Stelmer Productions?
Sure.
General Hospital had that in, like, in the early 60s when
right.
they first started.
Right, and Garrison's Gorillas and a bunch of other stuff, too. The reason most people would know about Selmer, and it's S-E-L-M-U-R, is that they produced Shindig, so which aired on ABC, Jimmy O'Neill's show. So that's
mostly
deal.
An ABC company, right?
Well, it's not a question of that. Shindig was a short notice replacement for Hootenanny, you know, back when the folk scene was big and then fizzled. But no, if you look at their stuff, a lot of stuff was on ABC. But yeah. So maybe it all was. I don't know.
Days of Our Lives.
Yeah.
Not Days of Our Lives.
I did not know that. I knew they did General Hospital. I did not know they did Days of Our Lives. All right.
Oh, they didn't. No, they didn't do it. Corday did.
Oh, okay.
Days of Our Lives.
All right. I didn't think Selmer did. No.
And Screen Gems. Right,
Gems. Right. They did Combat. Yeah, now that I think about it, I guess it all was ABC. Yeah. So, right. Not a whole lot, but of course General Hospital and Shindig, very, very well known, and to some extent The New Breed, but that was short-lived. And
yeah,
that
you
actually
know, General Hospital getting more violenter day by day currently.
Well, you know, it's interesting
character.
It survived, of course, because most of the soap operas have gone away. It wasn't the original soap, you know, back in radio days. It debuted in like 63 or so as a half hour show.
Okay.
All right. So you know more about it than I do. I know it went to a full hour in 78. So yeah.
And it was black and white too.
Right. I had a girlfriend who worked on that show, so I remember it went to an hour. But in any event, it is probably second only to Guiding Light as longest-running American soap opera in production. So it's been around a long time. Who would have thought of it? And a lot of spin-offs, of course. You mentioned The Young Marrieds, which, of course, was a spin-off that Selmer did. But to an extent, All My Children or One Life to Live or Ryan's Hope, you know, they're all semi-related.
Well, I love.
What?
You remember Ryan's Hope. Now, that was a good show. Even, you know, The Edge of Night, a lot of ABC affiliates printed The Edge of Night when it moved from CBS to ABC.
Okay.
And, you know, that was a big watch soap for men because it was a Procter & Gamble product.
Yeah. So, I guess what it moved to ABC in 75, I think, didn't it? And then
yeah,
then it was canceled.
Because I know my ABC affiliate WLS didn't air it at all.
Yeah, but you know that goes way back. Edge of Night goes back to like 56, and at that time most of the networks weren't providing programming all day. You know, you had a lot of blocks where the local affiliate had to fill it. That's where some of the syndicated stuff that you're mentioning came in, but that's also where a lot of the local shows, like the strip shows, the dance shows for after school and all that, because you know, you had to do something with the time. And
yeah,
of course,
you know, the 4 o'clock. Because pressure luck, because, you know, when that game show, it moved to 4 o'clock in 86, and a lot of CBS affiliates choose not to air it, or either they air it during the morning time, or they aired it then, because a lot of them, that's why it got canceled, because it was moved to that time slot.
Well, things happen, yeah. And, of course, when Edge of Night debuted, we call it soap operas, who sponsored it? Procter & Gamble. So they produced it, actually. So, sure. There's a book you need to read, and I wish I was at my other studio. I'd grab it and give you the title, but Randy West wrote it, and you'd love it. It's just your book, so call me when I'm at the other studio. In fact, I'll be back there tomorrow night. I'll get the book and tell you what it is. You can get a copy.
Okay, can I call back tomorrow night?
Absolutely you can. We'll talk to you then.
Okay, let me enjoy my Celebrity Family Feud on ABC.
All right, go for it. So, absolutely, yeah, Steve Harvey makes it a lot of fun. All right, but, yeah, Randy West wrote a great book about soap operas mostly, about game shows mostly, but not only. And there is all sorts of stuff in that book. Yeah, actually, I'm in that book, but not for any real reason. In any event, we'll have Randy on one night to talk about that, but it is a fun book. So, and it's sitting right there in my other studio, and tomorrow I'll drive back over there. All right, so after the news, we'll talk to John in Covington, and there's plenty of room for you. So, you know, last night you were just hanging on, and the show ended. I said, call back early. This is early, and well, actually it's not early anymore, but there's still 2 hours left to go, so I hope you'll join me on WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. So the people at Capitol Records couldn't pronounce the title and just named it after a dish they were eating at the time. Yeah. So whether it makes you hungry or not, it actually is an interesting song, Sukiyaki. 139 known versions of that, the first one being Kyu Sakamoto. He did not write it, by the way, as far as that goes. It was, who were those? Two people, Hachinda Nakamura and Roku Sukiyai. And that was the deal. And it actually was not a happy song. It sounds like it is, but it's not. Ue o muito aruko. Yeah, I did that probably badly. And I look up as I walk. And that's the opening line. And so the tears won't fall, remembering those days. But I'm all alone tonight. And what it wasn't a love song. People have thought that, but in the 60s, Japan had ratified the U.S.-Japanese Security Treaty, and the Japanese people did not like that. And I can't blame them. They wanted to remove American military presence from their country, and so there were a lot of protests. And during those protests, that's when the song was written, actually, right during the protests. And there you have it. So I look up as I walk. Happiness lies above the clouds. Happiness lies up in the sky. Yeah, I look up as I walk so the tears won't fall. Yeah, so, absolutely. But I know, for most of us, it's just seems like a great meal. All right, either way, it seemed like a lot of money, but like I say, Kyu Sakamoto did not write it. So the real money went to Nakamura and I. So... All right. And it was Jack in St. Charles who requested that, actually. And as I look up on the screen, there's Jack. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Howdy.
All right. What's up?
A couple more requests.
Okay, let's get that out here. So I'll write it down on something I still have. Okay, what is it you want to hear?
Jenny Lee, Ken, and Arnie.
Okay, yeah. Arnie Ginsberg, you betcha.
Terrible, but popped in my head. I don't...
Yeah, Jenny Lee, yeah, she was a stripper. Yes.
Yeah, that's what I understand.
Yeah.
And Arnie left shortly after that and
yes.
became Dean.
Yeah, no, Arnie.
Okay.
Yeah, Arnie had a real career. That's right. He made sense of it. Jan would have too. Had Jan not had that accident, he was in medical school at UCLA, and he would have done wonderfully well. Had everything going for him. That was one of the saddest days.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he drove like a maniac.
Also,
and no, it wasn't for people who know this. No, it was not Dead Man's Curve, but he did drive like a maniac. All right. So what?
Yeah. Well, it might as well have been
for what for him it was. Yeah.
Yeah. About Johnny Otis with the hand jive.
Okay. You betcha. All right. All right.
I look forward to it. Thank you.
Good deal. Thanks, Jack. Appreciate it. All right. So writing down that Jack requested them, because usually I forget who requested the records. But yeah, Johnny Otis. Can't say enough about him. All good. So let's see what John in Covington has to say for his bad self on WGN Radio.
Hey, Rolly. This afternoon... I was listening to old-time radio, and it was Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis.
Sure.
Now, what I'd like to know is that particular episode that I was listening to was from 1951. However, on that particular episode, Dean sang Everybody Loves Somebody. Sometimes.
Not in 1951, he didn't. They might have put it on there, but he didn't sing it in 1951.
Well, that's just the thing, is maybe it was later than that. However, I will say this, I did hear it, and it wasn't a hit until, like, 1965. And I do know that his piano player, like on the television show, Kenny Lane,
right.
He wrote that song.
Yeah, but see, here's a... It was Kenny Lane along with Irving Taylor in 1947, as far as that goes. So it was written that long ago. And it was the first recording was indeed Martin. Peggy Lee had it in 47 on Capitol. I think Dave Barber had it also. But in anyway, then Frank Sinatra recorded it in 47, and that was released like the following years. And that was the deal. And so Lane was playing piano on a Dean Martin recording session. In fact, the one that gave us Dream with Dean. And so Lane suggested take a run at this. And he did. And yes, he sang it. If you were talking about Bob Hope's show, he sang it on Bob's Hope show, but it wasn't released.
No, ma'am. No, this was the Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis comedy show on radio.
Right. Well, it was also on that NBC at the same time. And,
okay. All right.
And then he recorded it on his next album. But the deal is that in 64, Jimmy Bowen produced it, and that was the version that you heard on Reprise. So yeah.
Yeah, I just can't figure to have that big of a smash back in 47.
Well, it wasn't a big smash in 47 for him at all.
No, I know.
Just on the show.
I'm just saying to have that, you know, and then you have to wait all those years, 17 years later, and to get the hit. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, and Dean recorded a lot of stuff. He had really good taste, I thought. He couldn't always, you know, sadly pull it off if you listen to it. But Capitol had been releasing his stuff since 53. And so I don't think there was anything on vinyl, well, on shellac or vinyl before that, you know, some shellac things, but, you know, like when he was doing things like with an orchestra, you know, the stuff that was on Diamond or Apollo and all that kind of stuff. There it is. So you can find the shellac stuff as far as that goes, including some stuff that he did with Peggy Lee, if you want to. But yeah, he put out a lot of material.
Well, one of the, as much as I think of Dean Martin, and I think the world of him as an entertainer, but he tried to sing the John Hartford, Glenn Campbell hit with General On My Mind. He tried to sing that. I heard it. It's on one of my dad's albums. Anyway, we listened to
that's
My Mind by Dean Martin. Yeah. It was awful.
Well, that's what I say about he had great taste, but he couldn't always pull it off. I'm trying to think of the darn song. One of my all-time favorite songs, Make It Rain. And he tried to do Make It Rain, and it was just like, oh, please, do not. Please do not. But there were things he did that were also pretty darn good.
Oh, they were awesome. Just awesome.
Yeah, it's just there are certain things that, yeah, he probably never should have recorded. And, of course,
sometimes you don't wear brown shoes with a black tuxedo.
Yeah, well, there you are. Yeah, so
thank you, Raleigh.
Thanks for calling. I appreciate it.
God bless.
So, yeah, but a volume of material. He did a lot of stuff as far as that goes. And some of it was really good. And, of course, Everybody Loves Somebody Sometime was a huge hit. And The Door Still Open to My Heart did all right. And that was right before Everybody Loves Somebody Sometime. He had kind of a role with that, with Send Me the Pill You Dream On and all that. But yeah, some of his stuff is really good. But then when he decides he's doing We'll Sing in the Sunshine, you sort of wonder. Just a little, but like I said, that Make It Rain. And Houston was a hit. That was probably mid-60s on Reprise. That was a pretty big hit. I will not play his version of Make It Rain. Painful all the way around. 888-876-5593, 8888-RALEIGH on WGN Radio.
Some wealthy ones like you laugh down on the common folk like me and making bets to what degree of fool we are. From your rose-colored windows, you see yourself above us, standing in the mud and gazing at the stars. But the rich and poor have in common the common cold, the heartburn and the heartache, and put our pants on just the same. Now your wealth don't make you better, babe, 'cause I can tread water, babe, as long as you think you can make it rain. While you got your raisin girl in your diamond-studded world, I got pulled up on the hungry side of town. Cut my teeth on bacon rind, and there ain't no hide as thick as mine, but it might be fun a while to be your clown. So get your whip and do your thing, and I'll run around the ring, riding a white horse, wearing armor too. But I don't easy blister, babe, and I'll be your court jester, babe, but don't think you won't pay the fiddler too. Back when you put your hand in mine, it was a shocking thing to find the water hot, the current strong, deep and wet. You had me struggling for time, dangling on your line. Ah, but never fear, this fish will never sweat. While you playing with my mind, I'll be playing with your money, honey, as long as your account can stand the drain. I'll fan the flame and make it hotter, 'cause I think I can walk on water, long as you can make it rain.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Yeah, that's the original. Billy Mize, he wrote it, 1969 on Imperial. One of my all-time favorite records. In fact, I introduced it to Carol Ford, and it became one of her all-time favorites fairly quickly. I'm sorry to say that Dean Martin covered it. You do not want to hear that. But as I say, there were things that he could do very well, and then there were things that, you know, kudos to him for liking it, but please don't try it. Stan is in Dearborn. Welcome to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh.
Hey, Stan.
I was just listening to how many versions, or you said several versions of Sukiyaki.
139.
And I've got one by Jewel Akins in English.
Yes.
And it's entitled My First Lonely Night Without You.
Yeah, exactly.
My First Lonely Night, yeah.
Yeah, and that pretty much, when that song was written, that pretty much was the gist of it, because the writers wanted to make it sound like it could be a lost love, because they knew that there was no way that it was going to, you know, have much of an international hit, being a Japanese protest song. So, yeah, that's true. I've got to pull out that Jewel Akins. That's great that you remembered that.
And it's got Nakamura as one of the co-writers.
Right, well, it is, absolutely. Yeah.
So they at least gave him credit for it. Oh, you've, for that.
Well, yeah, you'd have to because it's probably a literal translation. So I gotta find that. That's that'd be great. I know it's here somewhere.
It's on here.
Yeah.
And when I heard that, I was looking up dedicated to the one I love.
Yeah.
And I'm glad you did not play it by the.
That wasn't going to be happening. And plus, I love Loman Pauling. You know, so why not play the Five Royales in all its glory and splendor?
But you know, he got that from the Casanovas.
Yes.
The Casanovas had a record on Apollo called "I Don't Want You to Go."
Yep.
And that's the beginning of that, and some of the lyrics in there are changed, but the melodies is real close.
Yeah, and by the way, for people who don't remember it, let's hear a little.
Away, away, baby. Though you leave me here to pray, pray, baby. But I know you won't stay.
If that's not a rip, I don't know what is. And, of course, they got no credit
great.
For that at all.
That's great you could get that so quickly.
Oh, yeah. Well, I've got some other things I've got on my car tracks, my 8-tracks and things like that, yes. So, I love that song. But, in fact, you'll be good at this, maybe. And, you know, my mind is going. The older I get, literally, I was talking to John earlier about it, and I said, you know, I think I really may have a problem, and I'll keep that off the air. I may. But
don't feel alone. I feel the same way.
Oh, man, it's terrible. And so frustrating and tiring. But in any event, a couple months ago, I played where the Name Game lyrics came from, the Banana Fana Fofana, and it was an old R&B record, and now I can't think of what the record is.
I heard you mention that.
Yes.
And you even called...
I called Val, of course. Right. He was not helpful at all.
And I can't think of it.
I know. And I went back. I know our caller from New Hampshire said it was a Monday Night Trivia, but it wasn't, because I went back for the last year of Monday Night Trivia. I know all those records, and it ain't in it. So unless I played something else while it was doing it, and, you know, I don't want to listen to myself ad nauseum, but if anybody ever thinks of it, that's going to drive me crazy. You know, I mean, maybe that's what I'll be going out on. I don't know. But but I'll be listening to the Casanovas when I do.
Yeah, that's a real ripoff, like you said. From
a total ripoff.
From what I remember reading about it, was Loman Pauling's cousin was in the Casanovas.
Oh, really?
And that's how they discovered it, or that's how, you know, the source, how he ripped it off, I guess.
That's interesting, because of course they were on Apollo, and that's interesting. I did not know
They're both from North Carolina.
Yeah.
I think one was from High Point, and one from Winston-Salem.
Right, they're both the same.
They were both gospel groups.
Right. And
before they went to...
Right.
So they were closely related. I mean, that could be. I read it somewhere, but...
I'll look that up. Well, High Point and Winston-Salem and Greensboro, it's all part of the triad, so it's all the same area. And I know that that Casanova's record's on that doo-wop from Apollo Volume 4, I think. I pulled it from a 45. But it's around. But hopefully what I'm going to do is look for that CD, and there's liner notes, because sometimes on some of the CDs, you know, it's rare these days, but somebody will have done liner notes to explain. And I'm also going to try to look at the 45 later and see who gets the writing credits on that. I don't want you to go. Yeah, it's a good song.
I think Gil Scott is Mayfield. I got it here. It's let me see what his name is. Chester Mayfield.
Okay. All right.
And, yeah, he was a writer, right? In fact, it said that they at first called it Away.
And they were from High Point. That's for sure. But what a mystery! I love it. I'll ask Val. We'll see if he knows anything about that.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Well, thanks. Appreciate it.
Okay. Great talking to you. Thank
Likewise.
You.
Yeah. So Chester Mayfield. All right. The McWilliams boys were in that too. And it's time for the news, is what it is right now on WGN Radio.
won't see all the tears that are in my eyes. No one will know I'm going through my first lonely night, yeah, without you. I know the night will hide sadness I feel inside. No one will know, for the smile on my lips won't tell them I'm losing you. And going through my first lonely night without you.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Well, there he is, Jewel Akins, My First Lonely Night on Era in 1966. And actually, that's a couple years after Buzz Kasson kind of rewrote it in English. And that's why the music of that was Nakamura, which is why he's credited on it. But interestingly, it was Buzz Kasson getting together with Snuff Garrett on that. And they originally released it on Lucille Starr. I've got to find her version. I know it's here somewhere. That was like 64, like a year after that. But My First Lonely Night, I think it was 65 or 66 on Era. Yeah, Herb Newman's label. So 888-876-5593, 8888-Raleigh. Let us see what Robert N. Stickney has to say for himself. What's going on, Robert?
Oh, yeah. Let's see. I thought of a couple of really way back oldies, because I got about four of them here. Okay, now the first one is, of course, an old country and western standard, Gone by Ferlin Husky.
Oh, sure, absolutely.
Yeah, and this is an Elvis tune. Didn't get, as far as I recollect, it didn't get that many plays up here in Chicago. I can't imagine an Elvis song not getting too many plays. A song called Just Tell Her Jim Said Hello.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. And the third one is, I know I'm Chicago born and raised, but one of my favorite doo-wop groups was Earl Lewis and the Channels from
good
New York.
Good choice. All Alone,
yeah.
Yes, and all those other wonderful things.
Right. And I'd like to hear their version of That's My Desire.
Oh, okay. I've got it.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the last one, this is a lady I never heard of before. It was a little, it was only the only hit from, I'd say, mid to late 50s, a song called Little by Little by
of course.
Her name was Mickey Marlowe.
About Little by Little is the Crew Cuts covered it.
Yeah,
I know you don't want that version, but yeah, absolutely. Little by Little is very well known. All right, I'll be happy to play it for you.
Yeah. Okay, Robin.
All right. Good deal. Thanks. Appreciate it. All right. So you betcha.
Okay.
Yeah. There's another one the Crew Cuts got. Of course. What would we expect? All right. So, good. Naoto called. So maybe Naoto, you can fill us more in on Kyu Sakamoto. Who knows? How are you?
Yeah. They will move.
Yeah. Oh, see, that's right.
Song.
And you can sing it pronounced right. That's pretty darn good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, now let me ask you. You're probably too young to remember, but when it came out in America as Sukiyaki, that had to piss people off in Japan. It didn't go over well, did it?
Yeah, I was surprised to hear that too. You know, like what? You know, like,
that's right. And we can't even pronounce Sukiyaki. We all say it's Sukiyaki. So, oh man, that had to be awful. Yeah, I can only imagine.
Yeah.
Well, all right. So what else? So the motorcycle, did you do the trip with a tourist you met?
Well, actually, I didn't. Like, what happened is that the person said, like, let's meet around 20 to 30.
Okay.
So I thought he was talking about night, you know, since it's 22.
Oh, but he was talking about the daytime?
Right.
Oh, God.
And I checked the message on Instagram around 12:30 at noon.
Oh, man.
So he was already visiting there. So.
Oh, man. Oh, well.
And, you know, yeah, also, like, I was talking about the place.
Yeah.
The day before, and I told him that it's very nice night view. So, you know, I thought it was about night, but, yeah, it wasn't, apparently.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's fine, you know.
But, you know, that's really interesting, because you figure if they're saying 22 military time, that is at night. That is not in the that is not in the day.
So, you know, maybe I should talk to him more about it.
Yeah, right.
But,
well, you'll know for you'll know for the next tourist you run into.
Right. Yeah. I should be more careful.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well. All right. So, what else is happening?
Not much. But I was a bit curious about. Have you ever ridden motorcycle? Like, I know you are car person.
I know. We actually own one. You'd have to talk to John to find out what it is. I'm not coordinated enough for that. But John rode it for a while. But you know, he didn't realize that if it's leaning on its side, a human being can't lift it up on their own. And that was that was such a shock to him. He said, "Well, I don't know that I want to ride something that if it tips over, I can't pick it up." And so
especially like a big one, you know, right?
Yeah. Yeah, so that was quite a shock. So, you'll have to tell... He'll tell you what it is. I don't know. It's sitting outside in the shed. Yeah, so he'll let me know what... I always say, why do we keep that thing? And, you know, I still don't know. But we've got one. Yep.
Yeah, it looks good, you know.
Yeah, right, exactly. That's right. It makes a nice impression. So John's coming in here. Wait, he's written it down. He's going to tell me what it is, and maybe you'll know what it is because God knows I don't. It is a It is a BMW R1150.
R1150?
Yeah, and a BMW R1150.
Oh, it's pretty nice looking motorcycle.
Yeah, well, it's the police version. That's how we wound up with it.
Police version. Wow.
Yes, that's it's exactly better. How we wound up with it. So, I guess, I don't know. I guess it'll just stay there for a while. It's sort of like the Jaguar. I don't know what's going to happen to that either. So, yeah. Yeah, it makes me wonder.
Yeah, but, like, yeah, but, if I can ask, like, how's the riding in United States? You know, like, in Japan, like, roads are pretty narrow and, you know,
well,
kind of harmful.
No, the roads are not the problem, and this is probably true in Japan too. The problem is the four-wheelers who don't understand the law of physics. It's always the cars that'll do you in. The roads are now, of course, in our county that's not true because about a third of our roads are not paved in our county. So you know that's more off-road. Yeah, we have actual towns that you can only get to on an unpaved road. I'm not sure what that says, but it's true. But, you know, as far as generally, the roads are pretty darn good. But, man, those four-wheelers are dangerous as hell.
Right. They are so dangerous in Japan, too.
Yeah, right. Right. That's what I figured, you know. I mean, it's just like the four-wheelers don't understand what it takes an 18-wheeler to stop. And especially if they're loaded. And I think that should be on the driving test because, like I always say, they're not violating the traffic laws. They're trying to violate the laws of physics. You know, it's pretty simple. You know, it's driving while stupid. And, and when you're on a motorcycle, you don't have metal around you to protect you.
Right.
Yeah, that's the part that scares the living daylights out of me.
Mm.
But other than that, it looks like a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's really fun. You know?
Well, good.
So maybe you can try.
I don't think so. I'm lucky that I can walk across the room. But but you never know, you know. Maybe one of these days I'll get a Jones and say, let me try that. I might want to try a bicycle first. I don't know.
Bicycle is pretty nice, too. I used to ride one, you know.
Yeah, we have a bicycle, too, while we're at it. I don't remember what that is, but that's here, too. It's some fancy bedancy thing. What do I know? But anyway.
I like to feel the wind, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I tell you, we collect odd things apparently. So, and don't start me on the boats. All right. Well, it's always good to hear from you, Nayoto. Talk to you soon.
Yeah.
Okay, bye.
Talk to me. Yep,
okay,
bye.
Good. Yeah. In fact, this is the funniest thing. Well, maybe it's sad, not funny, but I laughed. We have this one boat. I don't know what it is. It's a boat. And John decided, well, you know, we've got one of our containers. It's a 40-foot long container. Let's fence in an area for it, right? So we have this area fenced in, only to find out that the doors, the gate to it is not wide enough to get the boat in there. So the boat is sitting elsewhere without a gate. The gate right now is protecting a canoe. So yeah, that got in there easily. So yeah, it's always something. 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. We'll get to Bill in Chicago and hopefully you too on WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. If you're saying that sounds like the Andrews Sisters, that's because that's the Andrews Sisters. And that's the first group to belly up and do the Buzz Kaysen Snuff Garrett version of Sukiyaki. And it was actually on an album that is just so dreadful that you almost have to have it in your collection because you can't believe that it's this bad. It was on Dot. Of course. And if you're wondering what else besides Sukiyaki, if that's not enough, you get things like Mr. Bassman and Still, Though You Broke My Heart. Yes, absolutely. Right. All right. So, I'll leave it to you to hear the rest of it. All right. 888-876-5593. We've got Bill in Chicago. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh. How you doing?
All right. How about yourself?
Yeah, a long time. Listen, this must be Japanese night. You're playing all these songs. Anyway, made me think the guy that was just on from Japan.
Yes, Naoto.
I met a guy back in the late 60s, early 70s. He was the head of the Japanese bank here in Chicago. And he survived the bombing of Hiroshima.
Oh, my God.
In 1945 when they
yes.
did that. And he told me the whole story. How that his father was in the Japanese Navy.
Oh.
I think he was in his, his family got word that they were going to, they were attacking Hiroshima.
Oh.
So they, his family, his mother and he, and I think he had a sister, if I remember right, moved out of the city.
Right.
Into higher elevations. And he said one day, I heard this one lonely U.S. aircraft flying over the Empire of Japan. And everybody was talking about how dumb the Americans were with one plane to fly over the Empire of Japan.
Uh-huh.
And anyway, they couldn't see it, and then finally they saw it. And then it was way up, probably 20,000 or 30,000 feet up more. And he said that all of a sudden they noticed there was a parachute.
Oh, no.
And they could see something hanging on the end of it. They thought it was a lone American jumping into the Empire of Japan. And they washed it, and it fell. And when it got to about, I think the bomb exploded at 10,000 feet. And when it exploded, he said, his mother knocked him down. She fell on top of him, and he said, they were laying on the ground, and he said, all you could see was this big, bright flash of fire going to the ground.
Oh, God.
And then he said, later on, he said, then you felt the wind because it moved the air so much.
Right.
Then he said a big rainstorm came up, but they couldn't figure out why this one plane and no Japanese aircraft come up and meet it, because at that time the Japanese were running out of fuel. Some of their ships were floating out in the ocean with no coal to fire their boilers, so to get the steam for their ships to run.
By the way, I want to interrupt you and say we went to news because, as usual, I blew commercial break. So you and I are talking, but it's not on WGN. All right.
Oh, okay. Okay. That's all right. But anyways, that's more or less. And then also I told John, he gave me a record when that came out.
Yeah.
The Sukiyaki, or whatever they call it, pronounce it. And he gave me a record, and it is autographed by the composer.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
oh, that's neat. That's really neat.
Let's put it this way. I've got it here somewhere in all my stuff. But it's
now, for somebody to be that close to that detonation, did they suffer physical after effects?
No, they didn't suffer anything. No, they were far enough away they didn't get any physical things, right? Yeah.
Good. But how about his dad?
I don't know what happened to his father. I never asked him what happened to his father. If he was killed in on a ship or something. I don't know. I never did ask him.
Right. No, but I mean, if you're dead center on a hit like that, you almost hope you'll be killed.
Right, right. Well, his father is out in the ocean somewhere on a ship.
Yeah.
But anyways, the guy, I can't remember the guy's name from Japan, he may know the family name. The guy that I'm talking about, his name was Aki Akazawa.
Okay.
And that was the name. He was head of the Japanese bank here for a number of years, and then he got transferred back to Japan. Back
wow!
Then.
Wow!
And I used to talk to him now and then, but I lost track of him. He might have, I think he's probably passed away now or something. I haven't heard from him in years. And he was in his, well, let's see, he was 13 when they dropped the bomb.
Okay.
Because in 2 months later, he would have been 14 and been drafted into the, or taken into the Army or Navy or something.
So he'd be in his upper 80s.
Yeah, he'd be in his way up in his 80s if he's still living. So.
Yeah, interesting story. Thank you.
All right. Okay.
Okay, bye.
Okay.
All right. And so if you're listening on the stream, I'm still talking to you, and I will pick that up right after the news right here.
Wasting my time, I'm gonna keep on working for Jesus.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. And yeah, Luther Barnes, Heaven on My Mind, from the CD of the same name, 1995. And that was the one that Linda wanted to hear. It was on Gospel Air. All right. Actually, 1996, I think. But around that. Close enough. 888-876-5593-8888.
Raleigh, Fran, and Austin, what's up? Oh, no. Excuse me. I lost my voice there for a second. Better than losing my mind, I guess.
Yeah, really. Anyway, I'm sure I'm doing that as we speak. So, yeah.
Oh, me too. I don't know. Maybe it's something that's going around. I don't know.
Yeah,
but
really.
Anyway. I heard a funny take or a parody of Sukiyaki, and unfortunately, I couldn't find out who did it. But it's called, but you might be amused by it. It's called No Likey Yicky Yucky Sushi.
Oh, interesting. Oh, man.
It's about a guy who says, I came from Minnesota. I went to Tokyo to see something about the Great Pagoda.
Okay.
And he's talking about...
Okay, Chuck Pyle. Chuck Pyle is the guy's name. Yeah. All right. I am from Minnesota. I went to Tokyo to visit the land of enchantment and quaint pagoda. Yeah, all right. So, Yucky Sushi, I'll play it for you next.
Okay. Yeah, I thought it might amuse you. And I also had some some advice possibly for Jim on his radio situation.
Yes.
My favorite radio is the EP Pro.
Okay.
Now, I don't know what kind of visual display it has on it, of course, but,
nothing.
You know, if you, nothing, okay.
It's just slide rule dial, you know, where it says, there's nothing, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, I know he's concerned about not being able to see the dial.
Right.
But if once you find WGN, once you find it, you don't have to do that much tuning. I mean, you might have to move the dial a little bit one way or another if it's getting a little staticky or weird, but it's not like you need to refine it every time.
No, absolutely.
And, you know, I've been listening to radio since I can, back as far as I can remember, and I always just counted the stations. And,
right.
Of course, I knew their position on the dial. I could go from KRLA to KFWB to KGFJ
right.
to, you know,
sure.
KFI to, you know, wherever.
Right.
You know, wherever I wanted to go, just by, you know, kind of knowing where the station was on the dial and counting.
Right.
And I didn't even, you know, after a while, I didn't even count. I just knew how far to flip the dial.
Right,
it would just
right.
go.
Exactly.
You know, real fast. And you know, so you really don't, I know it's hard for, you know, because I can say this, but you don't need to see to find your radio station.
Right.
You know, once you know kind of where it is on the dial, you don't need a visual display.
Right. I agree with that. There, you know, as we know, there's a lot of dials where, damn, you better have one where they have that component, like today's washers and stuff like that. But on slide rule dial radios, no, the things don't move. They start at 540 and they go up to 1710. You know, yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, the only thing, I love my little pocket radio. The only thing I'd rather have, you know, the dial than the programmable stations.
Yes, yes.
But... you know, Gary does that for me. He's good at it, so he does it.
Good.
he programs my stations in the order I want them, and, you know, I go from there. Also, if anybody wants to listen to the Raleigh stream and you have Siri, you can get by saying play Rolleye.net. Because if you just say play Raleigh.net, you never know what you're going to get. But if you spell it out, you'll get there, and you won't have interruptions, you know, with the commercials coming in the middle of somebody's call.
Right.
You know, I always listen to you on the stream, and if I don't see you on the stream, then I'll check and see what's going on with WGN, because I can get that on my phone. I also use OOTunes.
Okay.
which is I don't remember what we paid. It was, you know, we've had it for years,
right.
So I don't remember what we paid for it, but it was very, very little, and we haven't had, it was a one-time thing.
Good.
And that, you know, so we get a lot of stations on that. And I was going to ask, how accessible is the radio that you were advertising, the Bluetooth, the
no,
Wi-Fi?
I just wouldn't.
No?
No, I wouldn't. No.
Oh, bummer, because I really want that radio.
Yeah, it's a great radio. And, you know, I shouldn't say that out of hand, but, you know, the problem is it's a digital readout. And, you know, there's probably ways. If anybody has one who has found ways, let us know how easy. I think it's the kind of thing that if you got it, yes, there's probably ways to set it and forget it. But I'll try to play with it. It's sitting at the other studio. I'll play with it blindfolded and see what I can do. I will let you know.
Yeah. Does it have buttons or just a flat screen? Or?
Well, it both. And so call me tomorrow night. I'll have it in front of me.
Okay. All right. Sounds good.
We'll do it. Okay. Looking forward to it. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Okay. Thanks.
All right.
Thanks.
So,
bye.
Yeah, I don't think it's terribly accessible, but I also don't think it's out of the question, so I shouldn't dismiss it out of hand. But if you can't see or have trouble seeing and you've got either the CC Radio 2E or the CC Radio 3, then let us know. Because, you know, there may be ways to memorize that. And hopefully that's the case. All right, so Yucky Sushi's coming up next on WGN Radio.
I am from Minnesota. I went to Tokyo to visit the land of enchantment. Quaint pagoda, I almost died. Night they tried to make me eat that yucky sushi. They think it tastes so yummy. Hey, I ain't no dummy. I knew no way would it stay down in my tummy. Took a bite, I was right. No like yucky, yucky sushi. It took some wine, but I finally agreed to taste that dish of dead fish and seaweed. I don't know. I loosened my kimono. I made a noise like the voice of Yoko Ono. Just like that. All on the mat. No like yucky, yucky sushi.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. That's Chuck Pyle, and he's been around quite a while. Songwriters, a lot of people recorded his stuff, Jerry Jeff Walker and stuff like that. But he did that on Romancing the Moment, and there's 23 tracks on that, and that's track 6. It came out in 2005 on his own label, Zen Cowboy, don't you know? All right, so there you have it, 888-876-5593. Johnny in Austin, what's up tonight?
Oh, tell me what's going on with yourself. I've been on the phone half of your show talking, catching up with an old friend I hadn't talked to in like 20 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well,
and,
good. That's
you know,
fun. That's a radio guy?
Actually, no.
Oh.
It was a guy that I grew up with. We didn't even go to the same high school, but he... had been trying to locate me for a long time, and oh gosh, man, I hadn't seen him since at least 30 years.
Wow!
But he's up in Washington State, so we were catching up on all kind of stuff that we did as kids. And he didn't go into radio; he got in the Army and worked for the government. So.
All right, and probably has a pension.
he's probably doing a hell of a lot better than us.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, was that Luther Barnes song you played a few minutes ago the same one you played several weeks ago?
No.
Well, I'll tell you what. that's some good, really good music. For me, I love gospel music anyway.
Yeah.
And, was that Linda wanted you to play that?
Absolutely right. That was Linda.
Linda, you got good taste.
Yeah.
You like my kind of music. So I got a question for you.
Uh-oh.
No. When have I ever brought you a bad question?
Oh, no.
Come on.
Let's hear
okay.
it.
There's no fear here. All right. Here's the scenario. I've got a radio show in the morning, okay, on an internet radio station.
Yeah.
Every day, Monday through Friday. Doesn't do much.
Right.
Because there ain't much there, you know. Yeah. And so I was talking to the operator of this station, and I said, hey, what if we take a station, and I'm going to be a little vague, that I used to work for in Houston, and say, let's just put one out there for fun, KYOK Memories of Yesterday or
All
something
right.
like
All
that,
right.
and call the show that. Well, say that there's a station with those call letters, but it's on a satellite, and it's not really called that. It's called something else. So the only time they ID those call letters are at the top of the hour. So basically, this satellite, it's a religious format. You know, there's it has tons of affiliates. So their call letters are meaningless. They don't even list the call letters on their affiliates. They just list frequencies in cities.
Mm-hmm.
So if I wanted to go back and say these call letters exist, but they're not the real name of that radio station, could I get by legally without getting any problems? Because, you know, I don't want to do that. Can I use those those special call letters and say, KYOK, 1590 Memories of Houston Yesterday or something like that, and not get any flack for it?
The one-sentence answer or one-word answer is probably. But whenever you're talking about intellectual property, if you're concerned, you want an intellectual property attorney to take a look at what it is. But I don't think that's a problem. Firstly, you'd hear from them if it is, which I don't think you would. But the other thing is, in most of these cases, it's not like you're CBS or something. You know they can't get blood out of a stone. So if they didn't like what you were doing, they would give you a cease and desist. And then what you could do, firstly, you could go ahead and see, have they in any way trademarked this, you know, as far as that goes. And you can look that up. That's easy to do. You don't legally need to trademark or copyright anything, but in terms of usage, again, it's somewhat of a gray area. And if there's an attorney listening who wants to weigh in, go for it. But I would say if you want to do something like 1490 WMBM Memories, I don't see a problem with that.
I don't either. I really don't, and because they don't even. They don't care about the callers. That's not the name of these radio stations.
Yeah,
satellite.
It sounds like it's EMF, like Air One or K-Love.
It's K-Love what it is.
Yeah,
and
well,
it,
so
and
right.
They got the call letters at the top of the hour, and that's it. So that's not their name.
Right. Well, they legally have the callers, but no, I don't see they're not using it as a positioning slogan.
No.
So I don't see them caring.
I don't
know. The only way that an entity like that would care is if you were using it in some way to, I don't know, do something like transgender furry programming or something. Then they'd probably say, hey, we got to put a stop to this because it potentially can malign us. I don't think they're not going to put a stop to you played a few R&B oldies.
Yeah, or just plain oldies.
Yeah, whatever. But you know what I mean.
I thought that was the answer.
Yeah.
And then if I had jingles from that station, would I need to relicense them or just play
Well,
them
that depends. That depends who owns them now. If it came from a standard package and someone has control of that package, like it was, you know, Pam's Sonobox Series 17 or something, then you got to find out who owns that now, you know. But if it's something that's completely defunct, if they did a trade out with Pepper Tanner, the likelihood that anybody and you know a lot of them did, don't put it down.
When it came to those trade outs with Pepper Tanner, I'd say I'd rather have no jingles in this crap.
Well, I understand. Yeah, Memphis is not fine. I understand, but people did it.
Let me ask you this: if I ran some of the jingles without contacting the company, the worst thing they could possibly do is say, call me and say, hey, you're not supposed to be doing this. And I can say, okay, what do you want if I lease a
couple
of cuts from?
Here's the thing. Theoretically, they can do anything they want. But again, that's in theory. If you violate someone's copyright, they can say, give me $10 million. And you can say, wait for my next lifetime. It's not likely. But, you know, the law on this would allow them to sue for anything they wanted to. But, of course, in the process, they'd have to prove damages, which would be virtually impossible in this case. You're lucky if you can prove anybody heard it. It's like a tree fall in the forest. Yeah.
True.
Yeah, right, exactly. So no. I think you're somewhat suit proof. I think you'd get the letter. But
well, I've got a trademark attorney across the street.
Well, so. Then what you do is you run it by him and tell him, "Hey, I don't want you to do this major investigation here, I just want your off the top comment." And let me know. I think he'll tell you what I'm telling you, but if he does this for a living, he knows absolutely what the deal is and what the likelihood is, So.
And I went through the same deal with him on the Soul of the City, and he's like, "This is no problem."
Right. John says, "Stop." John says, "What am I? I'm stopping for. Hang on a minute. Don't go away. It's time for the news." All right. So, go stay where you are on WGN Radio.
Evening, friends. Here's your friendly announcer. I have serious news to pass on to everybody. What I'm about to say could mean the world's disaster. Could change your joy and laughter to tears and pain. It's that love and need of love today. Don't delay, send yours in right away.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. So I wrote down that somebody wanted to hear it. I think it might have been Linda in Richland Park, but I don't remember. Love's in Need of Love, Stevie Wonder, 1976. Of course, it's from Songs in the Key of Life. And we're talking to Johnny Goen.
Hey, that was a great song. I love that song.
That was a killer album. It really was.
It was. I think the song was like 6 minutes long. And when I was in Houston, we were on that. They had that Kilt FM, which was kind
sure.
of a progressive rock. It was before they went country, but they had that on their list of stuff that we could play. It was a weird station. I didn't really care for being on it because it was kind of a classic rockish kind of thing. It wasn't my deal. But for some reason, Bill Young, the PD, put that album track in there, and it was Day Parted, of course.
You're right.
I used to love to play that song. One of the few soul songs that existed on Kilt FM 100. I'll
and 7 minutes and 6 seconds long. So that was a fine bathroom record.
What was that? Wasn't that on that Musiquarium album?
It's on Songs in
the
Key of
Life.
Right,
yeah.
Right. In fact, while I was playing that, John came in and said, "I want equal time. I want you to play Sir Duke." I said, "All right, I'll play that next." So
Maybe I played that just too much.
Well, that's all of us. That's exactly it. It's a great song, and the first couple times I heard it, I loved it. But now, of course, like you, it was like, oh, God.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of great songs, I want to thank Fran for requesting that that Manhattan Transfer for me last night, because I had never heard that before. And I do like a lot of their music.
Oh, yeah, I do too. And yet, Cantaloupe is a great record. I remember I was working at a radio station in San Diego when Us Three came out with it in the 90s. I'm like, man, someone's covering Donald Byrd and Herbie Hancock? This is great.
Yeah, I didn't know the history on any of that until you were talking about it. But
yeah.
she was telling me about this, and we were comparing the Manhattan Transfer song. Yeah. And I turned her on to one that she had never heard before, and she checked it out and really liked it. It was on the album. I think it was a Brazil album, but it was called Soul Food to Go.
Uh-huh.
You know that song?
Yes, I do.
You know it?
Absolutely.
She loved it, and I think it's really a great song, too. Now, I'm not requesting it unless you want to play it.
Sure. Yeah. No, absolutely. I think it is on Brazil. This is like the 87 or so. Yeah. This
yeah.
The album
yeah.
that had Zoo Blues on it. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. All right.
And I had a couple more songs in mind if
okay.
you wanted to even
well, sure,
entertain. But... playing. You like Sergio Mendes and Brazil 66.
I love that. Oh, I adore Sergio Mendes's early stuff, long before there was a Brazil 66. The only album by Brazil 66 in that incarnation of him was that Equinox album, which I thought on A&M, which was just wonderful. But
what were the known songs on it? Come to me.
Well, it's a lot of things that you like Triste. Trying to think of what else is on that. But,
got them all.
Yeah. Oh no. I'm sure you do. But it was. And it's one that never came out on CD legally. You can get an import like from Japan or something. But I don't know why Equinox never brought this thing out. But like Chove Chuva, you know, Constant Rain is on there.
Oh and, gosh, I love that one.
Yeah,
what
right.
was the other one that was?
Wave is on there, which is one
constant
of my...
Constant Rain, Constant
yeah,
Rain,
right.
Night and Day.
Well, that's what Chove Chuva is. Constant Rain is the English title.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So, and, but there was what was the other one? The Constant Rain and the Night and Day. They kind of reminded me yeah. of each other for some reason.
Well, Night and Day, by the way, is also on this album, and so is Wave, and so Danka Samba, which is jazz and samba and Bim Bam, and it's the best album he ever did on A&M. But of course,
did you like the song Masquerade?
All right.
Okay.
All right.
I thought it was great. I had all their albums. I thought, but all their CDs, but I never had that one, and I finally got it, and I thought it was great. But don't worry about playing it. But if you would like Soul Food to Go, throw it
yeah.
in sometime.
Oh no, I will. Now I'll tell you, the first album he did was Dance Moderno on Philips. And that
I don't know that
yeah,
at all.
I like Obalala, and I play Obalala a lot. Why would you know this stuff? It's that kind of thing, because I don't even know if Dance Moderno was released in English in America. You know, I don't know. I'm going to let you hear a little of Obalala, because I play it a lot on KJ.
I bet I probably heard this before.
Yeah, Rod, it's hard to miss when you listen to KJ, because it comes up every time I say it now for something completely different. It's almost always something Brazilian, but let's see if I can do this. Okay, here we go. So, yeah, that's the nicest thing, I think. So, yeah.
I didn't recognize that one. It sounded good.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Also, The Swinger from Rio had some interesting things on it, including Favela, which, now, as far as when he was getting into being a group, the Sergio Mendes Trio released an album, but it was later released in the States as Sergio Mendes and Brazil 65. And that
I'm familiar with that.
Yes, and it's actually Sergio Mendes Trio, and you know, Wanda de Sá is on that. I mean, that is just an amazing album. So, and in fact, Tower did a cutout of it years ago. But yeah, so there's a ton of good things on that as well.
As we go all over the world musically here, you got the Radiance Heartbreak Society.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, I bet you hadn't played that in a long time.
No, I haven't, and I love the Radiohead. All right, let me write this down. Heart.
You don't even have to remember who requested it as long as you play it. And I listen all the time. So
okay. And,
let me tell you, I don't always call your show just to promote myself.
Oh, and as well you should, by the way. But now here's proving I can't hold a thought hostage. I forget the other stuff you requested minutes ago, so tell me. Sorry.
Oh, okay. Is it a soul food to go by Manhattan Transfer?
Right. Okay.
Masquerade, if you feel like it. If you don't, scrap it.
Okay. All right.
And I don't, I mean,
okay.
And I can't.
And we'll play Heartbreak.
I'm trying to read my own, writing.
Good luck on that.
Yeah, we both got that problem.
Oh, of course. So, all right. So what else? Tell me else.
What else is going on? Seemed like there was something else I was on top of. Thank you to your listeners who have checked out my radio show, soulofthecity.net, on Sunday nights from 6 to midnight. I get Central Time. I get quite a bit of your listener feedback, and it's good.
And for people using Alexa, say, play HoustonRadioPlatinum.com, and that's Sunday nights.
Yeah, you can
from
say,
yeah,
Alexa, play HoustonRadioPlatinum.com. Okay. I'm also on in the morning. And I'm trying to make some adjustments on that.
Well, I'll tell you, if it's KYOK memories, I think it's a hell of an idea.
Well, I just use that as an example.
Yeah, no, I know, but it was an example I liked.
Yeah, of course. I think it's great. But
yeah.
But everything's going quite well on that, and I appreciate all your support for the show because I know you don't get to hear it that much. I know that.
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't. But,
are you in Globe now? Or are you
tonight? I am. Tomorrow night I won't be. So it literally depends on the day. You know. So
you're a traveler.
All right. So if it's not going to be KYOK memory, how about KCOH memories?
How about I'm not going to let that out yet. I don't want to spoil it before I do
KCOH
it.
KCOH 1430. Yeah, that's all right.
Well, they're still around though.
Never mind.
Yeah. They were on that tower that got hit by the helicopter.
Well, they're on 1230 now, aren't they?
But 1230 got hit by that helicopter.
It did.
Tower.
Yes. In town, no less.
I think that was almost a year ago.
Yeah. But
I don't think they'll ever be able to rebuild that site either because it was like a... It was the old KNUZ, KQUE
tower. Right, right, exactly,
so
yeah.
I don't think they'll be able to put it back on that in that location due to the grandfather of it.
Right, I don't think they will either. Yeah, KNUZ, dial it up 1-2-3. Yeah.
Yeah. That was weird. Houston, Texas had a local frequency like that because you couldn't hear it that.
Well, every market had them, you know, a lot of them. And you're right, you didn't hear it most anywhere else. So yeah, but if you were downtown. You were by the tower.
Well, they covered the inner city pretty well, and they covered Southwest Houston. But when you got out west, like to the Memorial I-10 area, no, they were gone. And I'll tell you one crazy thing they did to your listeners who are into the tech side of radio. They got some kind of authorization back in the early 80s to do an auxiliary transmitter site.
Sure.
And ran them at the same time, and it was a disaster.
Oh, God. No.
It was
phasing
in and out.
Of course it
would. You drive around. You know, it sounded like you were listening to KOMA at night or something.
Right.
All the songs sounded like The Big Hurt by Tony Fisher.
I can't tell you how many people have tried this, and usually on FM. Novel that they're doing it on AM. But I remember years ago in, and by the way, equipment has come very far. You can combine a lot better now than it used to be. But they took a bunch of those Class A FMs in Los Angeles and decided they'd ring the city, you know, Santa Monica and Ontario and Orange County and all this, and like you say, train wreck, you know. Yeah,
that was absolutely dreadful. They put a little, I don't know, maybe 100-watt transmitter out on the west side, and it was absolutely disastrous.
Of course it was. But
now,
then
Ron Haney, my engineer in El Paso, said that he could have made it work.
Well, today, you actually, there is equipment where I'll argue that it will certainly work to a degree. It will. But no, most people trying it, forget about it. But didn't Lieberman buy, I think,
Yes, for a while, yeah. I think so. And now I don't know who it belongs to. But when the helicopter hit that tower and it came down, it was horrible. I don't know. They lost the transmitter and all that. I mean, it had no home anymore.
Right.
And so I don't know if it's even on or not. But anyway, KCOH does still exist in some form.
Just at a different place on different place on the dial. Yes.
And KYOK exists as well.
Well, yeah.
It's a gospel station licensed to Conroe, Texas, with a translator.
Oh God.
So, but some of these stations, but that wasn't. I was just using those.
I understand. You'll pick something else, sure.
And that let me tell you again. That air check that you sent me of KYOK in 1965, the summer.
Yeah.
That was absolutely. You just can't believe how excited I am having that.
Good.
Because that was the man who hired me. That was the man who gave me my first job in radio.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah, it was fabulous, and I really got some cool things off of it, too. So it was worth the wait.
Yeah, good. And I again apologize for it. Oh, God, I'm terrible. But
all right. Well, okay, be good to yourself.
Yeah, now you have a bunch of Gigi Hill, Gladys Hill, so I'm sure you've been using those.
You know, I do, and it's interesting because I gave some of those out to some friends, and somehow they ended up, because I don't post anything to YouTube. I don't know how. And I don't care. I'm not.
Oh yeah, Ellis Feaster posted a lot of that stuff.
Well, I saw that at first. And I thought, well, you know, somebody ripped me off from that. And then I thought, you know, this isn't about me. This is about the legacy
of
the lady that I loved.
Of course,
I loved Gladys.
Yes.
And so I thought I did a second thought on that. I said, hey, this isn't about me. This is about a lady that if it wasn't for me recording that, she would be unknown today.
Exactly.
So God bless whoever put it out there. There's several of them, and I recorded those in the summer of 1970. And God knows I would love to have some of her air checks back when she was, you know, a bit younger. And she passed away at like 52.
Yeah, I know. I know.
She was a character. But she used to play in B.B. King's band. Did you know that?
No, I did not.
She sure did.
Oh, wow.
And she was the original Dizzy Lizzy at KYOK.
Yeah, that I knew, but I didn't know about it. What instrument did she play?
I think she was a singer.
Oh, okay, all right. So she was just singing on it. Okay.
It was in the early 50s. I'm thinking 53, 54, something like that. Yeah.
Wow.
Oh boy, but she was just a sweetheart and just as she was a character.
Oh yeah.
Nobody like Gladys. Hill.
Yeah.
And, you know, when she went over to KCOH, she had to change her name to Gigi.
Right.
And she was known for drinking on the radio.
Okay.
And she got away with it, too.
Yeah, well, right, exactly. You know, most of the soul stations, they got away with anything, you know. I literally remember, I won't tell you who the owner was, but it was an AM soul station. And he literally went, and when people would be paroled from jail, he'd hire them. And what he'd tell them was, we're not going to pay you, but you can get all the money you want from record companies.
Oh.
And this is long after the Paola hearings. So, you know.
How long did it work?
Oh, for years. And there were different guys, and I won't mention any names, because I think a couple of them actually stayed in radio. You know, most of them came and went. But, you know, that wasn't that unusual, because no one cared about those stations, like I never heard of, you know, the FCC coming down on anybody. And most owners, let's face it, most owners wouldn't go soul until they ran out of everything else. And it was nothing racial at all. But what it was the dollars in ethnic programming. It was true for country as well, are so minimal compared to general market dollars that people usually don't do it until they run out of everything else. And very often, that's not because of the fact that the town is lacking in any way. It's that they're bad operators. So they wind up in soul, and, you know, sometimes it's a group like we've talked a lot, the OK group and all that, which is a lot different. But when it's just, or Ronsonville, when it's just an individual doing it, man, some of those stories are legendary.
Well, you're talking about legendary. That WDIA in Memphis is just incredible reading. If you want to read some legacy of a black radio, way back. I mean, that was a station that was they were failing and they didn't know what to do.
Well, that's
with
what
it.
I'm saying. That's all of them. That's the only time you would go to this format. because the money is
but it was less. It was needed, and
of course,
and believe it or not, you know, that WDIA called themselves the Goodwill Station, and they did do goodwill for the community. They did that.
Right.
They had the commitment to do that, and they did it beautifully.
Right.
Oh, and they have all these years.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. And so they go back to the 40s, as you know.
I know.
So, sure. Sure.
I got these.
Just like the guy in Annapolis there. Same story. Why can't I think of his name right now? It's terrible. But, yeah.
Well, the guy in Houston that put KCOH on in 53 was named Bobby Meeker.
Right. But,
and
yeah.
And that station was a nothing. That was a nothing.
Well, that's
until he got a hold.
That's the way it is. Again, nobody with a successful station was going to embrace the format because the dollars are minimal by comparison. And so half the time it's an outgrowth of dollar a holler. You know, the Soul Station got rid of the all Polish hour and all Scandinavian hour, you know, all that kind of stuff. So sure, absolutely. And that's fine.
I still miss those good old times of AM radio.
Oh, of course. Of course.
And there's so much stuff out there that just, you know, never was archived. It doesn't exist.
Well, much like television, local television, like, you know, those local black dance shows that were so good, like Mitch Thomas. Oh, man, was he great. You know, nobody could afford to do that. And as far as, you know, videotape, it didn't come out till 1955, and then it was 2-inch, and it was a fortune. So you just taped over it. Well, hell, even the Tonight Show did that. So there was no way to keep that. And, of course, when we're talking about early 50s and 60s radio, I mean, Norelco came out with the cassette recorder in 64. But before that, you know, we were all on that white woolen sack that some salesman sold your mother in the kitchen. You know, I mean, there just wasn't. And, of course, before the mid-50s, if you have anything like that, I think I still have some paper tape around. Oh, good God.
I've never even seen such a thing.
No, when I was packing a move, I found McKenzie's. So no, I found everything. And we took them all to the dump. Absolutely. And John says it's time for me to shut up again. So I'm going to do that. And
if you got to shut up, I got
to
go.
All right. Talk to you later. Thanks for calling. Okay, bye.
Okay, have a great night.
All right.
Good night.
And on that note, this is WGN Radio.